Blog Talk Radio.
You got to be awful insecure in your manhood to think that only men are going to get into the kingdom and only men are supposed to be baptized, that is an agenda that is just my mind. It really does. It boggles my mind that these are supposed to be men who are teaching and who are versed in the scriptures. But, you know, when we get into self, then, you know, we go places we ought not go. And we say things we ought not say. That's why we should just say what's in the scriptures and leave it at that. And in the scriptures, if you can find women being baptized, then how could you say they're not supposed to be baptized? Or they're not going to make it during the first resurrection? If they hazard and give their life for Mashiach like the man does, then they will also qualify for the first resurrection. Just like if any man doesn't suffer with Messiah and doesn't meet Revelation 20 verses 4 and 5, you're not going to get up in the first resurrection either. I don't care what your bloodline is. I don't care what your gender is. Scriptures are very clear on this. So, you know, when you can read where women are being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit, how you can come up with something else, it just mind-boggles. Anyway, enough of that. You know, I get texts and calls all the time from people who are being told one thing in the scriptures and, you know, from pastors and from bishops and I even get calls from pastors and bishops in regards to some of these things. And I'm like, you know, all you got to do is let the word of the Most High tell you. Come out of yourself. So, you know, I'm happy that Yah has allowed me to stay strictly in his word and to allow me to maneuver in the word, and he guides my steps, because there's just so much craziness out here. And then we got, you know, people who are caught up in Hebrewism, I'll just call it that, Hebrewism, and they're going to bring the world down upon all of us. And when I say all of us, it doesn't matter whether you believe you're a Hebrew Israelite or not. If you are associated, then they're going to bring the world down on you. That's what they are doing you know, coming against everyone in the way that they're coming against them. It's one thing to say truth. It's another thing to go on the attack. Problem that I'm seeing today. And, you know, I want everybody to be aware of this and be careful. First comes this gospel. It's not about who you are. The only reason why it's important that you know that you're a Hebrew Israelite, so that you can do what the Most High said to do. Apologize for the sins of your forefathers and yours because of what our forefathers did to the Most High. Other than that, are there promises to us? Yes. But you're not going to receive no promise if you're not walking in his ways, if you have not awakened to the truth, to follow Yah in spirit and in truth, and to fear him and keep his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, and his judgments. Still can't be doing our own thing. But anyway, we are starting a new lesson on this evening, and it's called Reaping Souls for the Kingdom. Because that's one of our, you know, we talked on last week or the last couple of weeks, we talked about the different positions, the kingdom in you, and then the different positions, authoritative positions in the kingdom. And so once we enter into the kingdom, into the community, then we are supposed to do things. There's things that we're supposed to do, and one of the number one things that we're supposed to do is reap souls for the kingdom, win people over to the kingdom. And I know that it is not the most pleasant thing to do, especially these days when nobody really wants to hear or everybody thinks they already know, but still, it is our main job. So we're going to be talking about reaping souls for the kingdom, getting people to come into the kingdom and to be able to stay and live in the kingdom. And remember, the kingdom is here already. And so we as the saints have to already have that mindset that we are already in the kingdom. It may not look like we think it's supposed to look, but Messiah says the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's within us. So we have to have that mindset that we are already in the kingdom. If we are citizens of the kingdom, then we need to be obeying the laws of the kingdom. And we're supposed to be presenting the kingdom in a way that it invites others into it, that they want to come in. You know, so we don't want to beat them up. That, you know, the word will beat them up enough, trust me. Once people start coming in the truth, and if their eyes are open and they are willing to accept truth, the word will beat them up enough. We don't have to. All you got to do is just teach them the word. The word will convict them. The Most High will convict them. You know, if they really want truth, if they're really searching for truth, if they're looking to you know, for the answer, then, you know, that if they're given the truth in the beginning, then it makes it easier for them to stay in the kingdom doing what the Most High said. If they are codgled into the kingdom, with the Most High is going to bless you at every turn. If they are tricked into the kingdom, then as soon as they find out they've been tricked, then they're going to want to leave. You know, so the Most High is looking for those that want him. And people need to want him the way that he wants them to want him. Not on their terms, but on his. So we're going to be looking at, you know, what it is that we as the saints, what we're supposed to do. What did the early church do? Because we are apostolic by nature, and we want to go back to what the apostles were doing and emulate what they were doing, emulate what they did, emulate what the early church did. Back to basics. That's what this is all about. Back to basics. Don't worry about what everybody is doing today. If they're not doing what the early church was doing in an organized way, forget all the love fest and all that stuff. That love one another. But to love one another, he says, by this he knows that we love one another if we obey his commandments. Now, you know, let them take that and stuff it in their pipes. It ain't about all this, the way that we want to project love. We have to do it the way that he says to do it. And with the premise, the foundation of how he said to do it. If not, you will get off base and you will lead people astray. And they will be coming into this thing for the wrong reasons, with the wrong motivation. And they won't stay around. The vast majority of them will not stay around. So the word of Elohim will either draw you or push you away. It'll either draw you or push you away. And the ground that it falls on, that determines, you know, how deep the roots of the seed of this word go. Most people today are stony ground. The seed fall on them and it just gets blown around by every wind of doctrine. It don't take root. They don't believe any specific thing. They don't know what to believe. They don't know what to expect. So we want to make sure in our witness and in our walk that we don't do that. And don't worry about whether they come or not. You just make sure you know the truth and you tell them the truth. And leave it at that, because it's the Most High that has to give the increase. It's the Most High that has to draw them. It's the Most High that has to open their eyes to be able to even accept it. So as word, we are doing the calling for him. And he does his own calling as well, his own unctioning, but we are supposed to trumpet that. And if they hear it and it falls on deaf ears, oh well. If they hear it and they kind of accept it, oh well. If they hear it and they run to it, oh well. We didn't do anything but tell them and be an example. So we want to make sure that we keep ourselves humble, that we're nobody. You know, I have no teachers out there that think that they are all that in a bag of chips, and they're the best teacher and the only teacher people should listen to. And I don't tell everybody that they should be eating from every table or any and all tables. But the truth of the matter is, the teacher can't be full of themselves. The pastor can't be full of themselves either. They have to be humble. They have to be contrite. They have to be merciful, forgiving, loving, long-suffering. You know, you can tell people the same thing over and over and over again, and then maybe one day Yah allows them to see it. Maybe they're searching in the way that you present it. They don't want to hear it. Okay, that's fine. But you planted that seed. You have to wait for somebody else to water it, and then you have to wait for Yah to give the increase. That's really how this works. We in and of ourselves, we don't do anything other than proclaim this gospel. And once they come in, teach them the correct way to go and be an example. So let's look at these things of the early church. May the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. And as we go before the Most High, let's do our statement of faith. And we'll jump into this lesson. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name, Father. We just lift you up and we magnify you on this evening. And we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness, Father. We thank you for being our Elohim and for choosing us, Father. And we just give you glory and honor and praise on today. For we love you, Father. We know that you love us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to Yah, O Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. All right. Our scripture for this evening is Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, all nationalities, all ethnicities, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to start this precept. Let me pull it up on my screen. Again, this is question and answer type of a lesson, of a presentation. At any time, if you feel like you have a question, if you're dialed into the 480 number, then text me. I got my phone right in front of me. I should see it. It won't buzz, but I'll see it. If you are dialed into the 516 number and you have something to say or you have a question, then just press the number 1. It will raise your hand. And, of course, and in the chat room, you can raise your hand if you have a question. All right, so we're going to get into this precept, reaping souls for the kingdom. And in this precept is where I first started teaching Elohim and HaMashiach, because started looking at the word Lord and Christ and the actual name Jesus, even though it is a translation, the name Jesus actually has no meaning behind it. People assign a meaning to it. But his Hebrew name has a meaning. A meaning behind it. Okay. So Yahushua or Yeshua equals Jesus, HaMashiach equals Christ or Messiah. Ruach HaKodesh equals Holy Spirit. The Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. Terms by now we've used them, we use them all the time. Okay. So reaping souls for the kingdom. What did HaMashiach instruct his disciples to do in Acts chapter 6? Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. So let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Verses 6 through 8. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. Remember, this is a classroom environment, so make sure that your mics are open and available, that you're ready to respond. Amen. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Acts chapter 6, verses, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. What did HaMashiach instruct his disciples to do in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8? When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Master, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to run the Romans out? Are you going to restore the kingdom of Elohim to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the season or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. Underline that. Now, we've talked about this in previous lessons when we talked about the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Because you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And without the Spirit of the Most High, you can do nothing. You can't interpret the scriptures correctly. You can't come to understanding, the Elohim's understanding of the scriptures, because it's by his Spirit that he gives understanding. You can do nothing without his Spirit. So he says, you shall receive power. When? Not before, after that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is come upon you. So as the saints of the Most High, we have to know, and this is why I tell you, this is something that you don't play with. It don't something that you guess at. It's something that you really, really, really need to know concerning yourself. Do you have the Ruach? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Did somebody just tell you, or do you just think? Because if without the Holy Spirit, you have no power. Let me read that again. You shall receive power when? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You can't be an effective witness without the Ruach, without the Holy Spirit. You can't tell people about how Yah has changed you without the Holy Spirit, because you will not have a conversion without the Holy Spirit, and you won't have power to get over any addiction, anything that is ruling in your life that's not supposed to. You can't do it in and of yourself. The natural man really has no power over those things. Must have a conversion, a change. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is how you get your ability to witness. This is your ability to tell people about the Most High. So you shall receive power. Now, the gifts of the Spirit come from the Spirit of the Most High. And so you might have some natural gifts, but then You won't have them and use them with the understanding or the way that the Most High wants them to be used. You use them the way you want to use them. You won't understand that everything is to the glory of the kingdom. You were given gifts and power and authority for the kingdom, not for yourself. That's why I said the kingdom is within us. And if we are living according to the kingdom, then the power and the authority and the gift kingdom for use in the kingdom. It's supposed to be in this world, but not of this world. When you are born again, you are born again of the Spirit and of the water. You're born again of the kingdom of the Most High. Not supposed to live according to this world. You live in it. You're affected by it, but not supposed to be what you're all about. You understand that it's unnecessary because you're in this environment. But you don't live by its standards. You don't live by its authority, except for where you absolutely must. But when their authorities and their powers contradict your head, the Most High, then you go with the Most High. And you have to always go with the Most High. Can't say we're not in our land. Because the world, the earth, is the Most High, and the fullness thereof, and everything in it. So you never let anything in this world supersede what the Most High has said. If you do, then you're following the world, and you're not following Him. It's plain and simple. We'll put it where the goats can get it. Plain and simple. If you're following and you let the world dictate what you do, especially when it supersedes what the Most High has said, then you're not following the Most High, you're following the world. That's why when you go to take a job and they want you to work on Sabbath, you have to strictly come against that. Because your power doesn't allow you to work on Sabbath. And if you take the job, then you put yourself in that position. I've been there myself. And most of the time I could finagle where I didn't have to work on Sabbath. Or I would be on call on Sabbath. But the bottom line is, we don't want to place ourselves under the authority. And people that you witness to have to know that. Because if you look like the world, you talk like the world, why should they see anything different in you and what you're offering? If you're doing what they're doing, well, then what do I need you for? You're doing the same thing I'm doing. And I know what I'm doing ain't right, so what then are you telling me? So we have to live by the standard that the Most High sets forth. We have to live by His rules and His law. We have to set that expectation for people coming in so that when you're speaking to new people or people who have heard and they feel like they don't know which way they want to go. They don't know, feel like they don't know which way to go. Or they don't understand. Or they've been hurt. You don't want them to see you and be hurt too. You don't want them to see, talk to you and get confused. So you must be on point. And you must go with, you must speak from a position of power and authority. But at the same time, be kind. Be tactful. Tell them the truth and then let it fall out where it's going to fall out. But, you know, you don't have to be ugly with it. Can't be ugly with it. Just simply tell them what thus says Yah Elohim from your position of power. This is the way it is. Cannot be wavering, in other words. You can't be like, it's kind of like this. Because when it's kind of like something, then you didn't exactly tell me what it's like. You said it's kind of like this. No, it needs to be straight up. It's like this. Give them the truth in a kind way. Let Yah do the work. So what did the disciples do? They went and they waited on to receive the power. He instructed them to wait. Power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria. And unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You got to first receive the power. Receive your citizenship. Receive your authority. And then walk in it. To whom must we offer the gospel of the kingdom? Go to Matthew chapter 24. The book of Matthew chapter 24. And I think I'm going to share my screen. And we will just read it together. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. Share it. Okay. All right. So you should be able to get to it now.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Sister Mary, are you able to see it? Sister Denise? Amen.
Yes.
All right. Amen. All right. So those are the ones that are able to see it. We're going to Matthew chapter 24. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, and we are going to be getting verse 14. Matthew, chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John the Baptist taught and preached. And that's what Messiah taught and preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When we do what we're supposed to do, when we preach the gospel of the kingdom to all nations, the kingdom of heaven is here. Enter into it. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Obey his voice. Do what he says to do. It says, when that word goes out into all nations and all who Yah calls, then the end will come. That's why we haven't seen the end yet. That's why the end of the times haven't come yet. Because men have not been teaching the true gospel, prosperity, the gospel of love, salvation. But the true gospel is that the kingdom of heaven is available to us again. You can get your citizenship. And you can become a citizen of the kingdom. And if you become a citizen of the kingdom, then you need to keep the laws of the kingdom, the laws of the Most High. You need to celebrate those things. Celebrate his feast day, not what the world does. Because once you become, you know, let me put it this way. if you were a citizen of Russia, you would have no reason, or let's just say you're a citizen of the United States, you have no reason to be celebrating Russian Independence Day or whatever they celebrate. You're not a citizen of that country. When we become a citizen of the Most High's kingdom, then we don't have allegiance to any country on this earth. Only allegiance to the Most High. Right now, he is not sitting over it on this earth. And neither are we in it. His country, Israel, the one that he chose. So being his citizens, we are waiting for the return of our king. But if you really look at this thing in a logical way, we are scattered into every nation on the earth, according to the scriptures. If we have understanding, then we should be preaching his gospel wherever we are at. Then the gospel would go out into every nation on the earth. That's a trip. We are scattered into every nation. And if every Hebrew understood the mission and understood salvation, then all they would have to do is preach the kingdom wherever they are at. Then we would fulfill what Messiah said would have to be done. That the gospel must be preached, the gospel of the kingdom in every nation. But we're so busy trying to, one, figure out who we are, we are so busy trying to tell everybody who we are and caught up in self that we are off point for what the Most High says to do. So you get your citizenship. You tell somebody else how to get there. And it's not up to you to make them get it. You do the same thing Messiah and John said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You stick out your hand, you're offering them the kingdom. Stand it. You stick out that olive leaf, that branch. You can make peace with the Most High. You can become a member in his kingdom. You can't make them take it. Not your uncle, not your aunt, not your mother, not your father, not your sister, not your brother, not your child. They have to willfully take it on their own. And the Most High really has to open their eyes to it. Only thing you can do is tell them. Understand it, but it's your job to offer it. Now just imagine if every Hebrew Israelite that had ever gotten scattered came into the knowledge of the truth, and we were all on one page and of one accord, and we all did the same thing. All we did was teach and preach the gospel of the kingdom. We are promised that Messiah would return. The end would come because what he wants done would have been done. So we're to offer everybody the kingdom. Okay. Matthew chapter, wait a minute, I hope that you can still see my Bible. Can you see it again now? Verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Go to Acts chapter 1. We just came from here. We read verses 7 and 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 now. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began to both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He gave commandments to the apostles through the Holy Spirit. I shall be in you. I shall make my abode in you. Through the Holy Spirit has given commandments unto the apostles from whom he has chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Elohim, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they received the Holy Spirit, I think it was, this is 10 days after this. 10 days after he departed the earth, they received the Ruach HaKodesh. That's 50, the day of Pentecost. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Master, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. Okay. So the gospel of the kingdom, that's all we have to do. That's our job. Kingdom. Teach the gospel of the kingdom. Tell people that the kingdom of heaven is here. It's at hand. You're a citizen of the kingdom. And you must be a law-abiding citizen of the kingdom. Can't be a law-breaking citizen. Okay. Let's continue. Any questions on question one or two? What did HaMashiach instruct his disciples to do? And to whom must we offer the gospel? Any questions?
No, sir. No questions.
All right. Amen. Number three, since the ideal behind witnessing is to bear testimony to something or someone, who or what in the Bible gives witness to HaMashiach as the son of Elohim and Savior? Three, the book of John, chapter 3. And we're going to get verse 16, John 3 and 16. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, who or what in the Bible gives witness to HaMashiach? Elohim himself. That this is his Son, that he gave him for the world. Now, when we come into truth and understanding, that we know that they are one and the same. But he wants us to know him as Savior, as the Son of Elohim. The one who created the world. Came into the world. And he says, you're going to know him as the only begotten of the Father. Created the world, said, I don't know any other Elohim. There is no other Elohim, no other God but me. I created all things alone and by myself. I don't have a son. I don't know another Elohim. Because if he had a son who was there with him, his son would have to be a God just like him. He said, I don't know any other God. That tells you that Messiah as God was not there. As we know him today from the scriptures, he was not there in the beginning. As Elohim himself said, I don't know any other God. Now, I'm going to have a son. I'm preparing a body. And I'm telling you I'm going to have a son, but then people don't understand that he fathered himself and came into this world. But he testifies of himself. Go to John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. Through 8. Starting with verse 6 through 8. There was a man sent from Elohim whose name was John. The same came for a witness. This was John's job, to witness and to herald, announce Messiah, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light. So it's taking John out of the picture right away. He's not the Christ. He's not the light. He's not the Messiah. He's not God. Because all the verses before this are discussing Elohim. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. Saying John is not that Word. John is to bear witness of that Word. To bear witness of that man. And we know it's a man because he says in verse 7, the same came to bear witness, to bear witness of the light. The light is a noun or an adjective telling you or describing this entity, that all men through him, the light, might believe. Not through John, but through the light. John came to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Drop down to verse 15. Let's get verses 14, 15. And the Word, which was God. That's what verse 1 said. Let's pop up to verse 1 real quick. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The Word was God. So we can say in verse 14, and God became flesh and dwelt among us. How did we behold him? And we beheld him as we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, but God himself became flesh, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Most High existed before John did. If we're talking about Jesus the man, Yeshua the man, John was born in the world before he was, by 3 months. So how could he, as the man, be before John? He's before John as Elohim. That's the spirit that is within him. That's who John came to proclaim. That's who Isaiah said that John would proclaim. Behold, Israel, your Elohim. Your God. That's what John's whole job was, to be a witness. John bear witness of him crying, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So this entity, if they had any sense in what John was saying, if they knew anything about John and they knew anything about Messiah, then they would have known that John was saying, hey, this entity, this man that you're looking at, existed before I existed. At the spirit of Elohim. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the elders, they knew Messiah was supposed to be coming. They asked John, are you him? Are you that prophet that Moses prophesied about? Are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah? Because they didn't understand that the Messiah and that prophet are one and the same. John says, I'm not any of them. But John didn't even know that he came in the spirit of Elijah. John. But the scripture says when Elizabeth got pregnant that he shall come in the spirit of Elijah. And then Messiah testified that if you really want to know, this John is Elijah. But John didn't know that. But John knew what he was supposed to be doing. He was to be a witness. He was to announce Messiah. As soon as he saw that dove descending, the Spirit descending in the form of a dove, or just not in the form of a dove, the Spirit descending like a dove. But see, when we read that, if we say in the form of a dove, we think an actual dove descending. That's not what that scripture is saying. And even when they use a dove as a representation of the Spirit, that's really not actually fact. Saw a dove. He saw the Spirit of the Most High dropping quickly on Messiah. That's the sign that he saw. Because a dove, if you ever look at a dove, how it, when it lands, it lands quickly. It's not like other birds where they fly and, you know, sort of float into a tree. No, when doves are flying, or if you even look at pigeons, they will drop down from the sky quick. That's what he's saying. When he saw the Spirit descend like a dove. That means like a dove descends quickly, not in the form of a dove. But people have translated that and in their mind, it was a dove that came down. No, it wasn't. A whole other thing. So to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Any questions on John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and 15, and verse 15?
No, I don't have any.
All right. All right, thank you. Anyone else?
No.
Okay. John chapter 5. The book of John, chapter 5, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, and the works that he does. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. I've raised people from the dead. I'm giving you the truth of the scriptures. The works that I do. And people should know you and I by our work. Because it's by your work that you're going to be judged. Let's go quickly to Revelation chapter 20. He gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their work. The works that you do. Messiah says, you shall know me by my work. My works are a witness of who sent me. So you should be, and I should be known by our work, what we have done, how we treat our fellow man. When I say man, mankind, because, you know, I'm on this thing now where, I can't believe the brothers are teaching, even having discussions about, you know, a lot of places where it says man in the scriptures, and I think I am going to do that precept. So I can show you. In a lot of cases where it says man in the scriptures, the word man is added. That word man itself is added. It'll say all men. But when you look at it, the word man is italicized, meaning that it was added for clarity. It just says all. All means all, men and women. But we have brothers that read that word and say, oh, see here? It's only as applying to a man. But let me not digress. So your work, too. Your work should say who you're working for. prophesied Messiah, that his works were a witness of him. Let's go back. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So Messiah's work witness of who he was. In the Old Testament, the prophets didn't do any works of them, their own selves. The Spirit of the Most High came upon them. Every time Samson did something, it would tell you that the Spirit of Elohim came on Samson. And he received strength, supernatural strength. So we have to let our works bear witness of us. Drop down to verse 39. What is the read to verse 39? And the Father himself, which sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent. Him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. The works I do testify of me. The scriptures testify of me. So this is what who testifies of Messiah. The Most High himself testify who Messiah is. The Word testifies who Messiah is, and his works testify or a witness of who he was or is. Our example, so our work to testify of who we are and who has sent us, who has called us. Go to John chapter 8, the book of John chapter 8, and let's get verse 18. John chapter 8 and verse 18. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Let's read verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is your Father? Yeshua answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Now, in the natural sense, if we use that with the carnal mind, because you have to discern that with the spiritual mind, if you use that with the carnal mind, you would say, hey, if you got a child and somebody meets your child, and they know your child, does that mean they know you? And with the carnal mind, you will say no. They don't know you if they know your child. But if you were able to do what the Most High was able to do, if you were able to put on flesh, and people knew you as your child, then you yourself would know yourself. That's why he said, known me, you would have known my Father also. That's why when I believe it was Peter, or maybe it was Philip, I have to look, don't quote me on this one, show us the Father and it will suffice us. And he says, I had to be Peter, said, excuse me, have I been so long with you that you have not known me? How say it? How do you say, show us the Father? You're looking at it. You haven't figured that out yet? Okay. John chapter 15, verse 26. So to know Messiah is to know the Father. To know the Father is to know Messiah. And he said, they didn't know either one. You don't know my Father. You don't know me. You neither know me nor my Father. John, let's get verse 27. John 15, verse 27. Book of John, chapter 15, verse 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, that's another name for the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, that's another name for the Most High, the Spirit of truth. That's what it says. Elohim cannot lie. He is the Spirit of what? Truth. He can't lie. Which proceeded forth from the Father, he shall testify of me. This is what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. I'm going to testify of the works of Messiah. That, yeah, these things really happen. Word it. Maybe it's not worded that way. Let me look this up a different way. So the Numbers, chapter 23. Numbers, chapter 23. And we're going to get verse 19. Elohim is not a man that he should lie. Now, this verse, a lot of people and other beliefs will say, like the Muslims will say, see, it says right here, God is not a man. Don't say God will not become a man. Don't say God cannot become a man, but they will use the scripture that God is not a man, that he should lie. He don't have the nature of a man. What it's saying, that he should lie. Son of man, that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So Elohim doesn't lie. Okay, and I'm sure there's another verse that says straight out. Okay, let's continue. Go back to where we were at. And we should be going to another verse here. We pull it up. Too many things open. Let's go to Acts. The book of Acts 7 here first. And you also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So the disciples bear witness of who Messiah was as well. But the question is, since the ideal behind witnessing is to bear testimony to something or someone, who or what in the Bible gives witness to HaMashiach as the son of Elohim and Savior? We have the word. We have Elohim himself. We have the work. He says, now the disciple. Okay. Go to Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10. 3. Acts 10 and 43. To him, all the prophets gave witness. So who gives witness of Messiah? All the prophets. The Messiah himself says, search the scriptures. In them you think you have life. But they, the scriptures, are they that testify of me. But the scriptures are all given by who? The prophets. Moses was a prophet, and all the prophets, as they were inspired by the Spirit of the Most High, they are the witnesses that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin. So this is who testifies and witnesses of Messiah. The Father himself, the word of Elohim, the work that Messiah did, his disciples, all the prophets. Their whole purpose was to witness and bear witness of Messiah, of Elohim. And this is the work that Elohim is doing. So in the Old Testament, when the prophets would say, thus saith Yah Elohim, then they were bearing witness that Elohim existed and they were the go-between. But then they also prophesied about Messiah. Elohim is coming. The Savior is coming. John himself was given the specific task of being the announcer of Messiah on the earth, of Elohim on the earth. He's here. The one whose shoe lace I am not worthy to even tie. He is preferred before me, for he was before me. Bear witness. So what do you think you should be doing? You also and I also should bear witness. Yeshua HaMashiach is Elohim. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is coming back. His kingdom is on the earth right now. And I'm living proof of it. But we don't sell ourselves that way. The truth of the matter is, if we really want to know the truth, we sell ourselves short. So we have to believe we are who he says that we are. We have to believe that we receive power. We have to believe it, have to know it, have to walk in it, and it our work to show it. What makes us effective witnesses? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Because it's really, if you're not doing this, you can't witness to no one. You can be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You can be a hypocrite. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. We recite this screen around, don't we? All right. Are you able to see the Bible again? I keep forgetting I'm sharing my screen. Okay. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. You want to be an effective witness? Fear Elohim. And what? Keep his commandments. If you're not keeping the commandments of the Most High, how do you expect for someone else to? Since you're the example. You breaking the commandments, why in the world should they keep anything? If you don't do it, why should they? For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everybody understand that? Can't be double-minded. Can't be doing part of what Elohim says and part of what the world. You have to do what the book says, or you're really none of his. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. If this is the whole duty of man, then as his child, as his witness, as a disciple, surely you have to know that. And surely you have to be doing that. Surely that's what people must see you doing. And not when it's just convenient. But all the time. We've already read Acts 1-8, so we're not going there. As you know, that you have to receive power. And I really don't think that you can honestly, truly keep his commandments without power, without his spirit to help you. Who is responsible for actually saving a person? It ain't you or I. Go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, who are all puffed up. I have planted, Apollo watered, but who gave the increase? Was it I? No. Would it be some other brother? No. Only Elohim gives the increase. Only Elohim is the one that can save anybody. So let's read verse 7 with this. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered. So he that planted and he that watered, are they anything? No. But Elohim that giveth the increase. Planet and he that watered are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Your work. That's how you're going to be rewarded. But you ain't supposed to get puffed up in this thing. None of us. Other than being water baptized and filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, what else continually required to improve our effectiveness as good citizens, as good witnesses? Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Continually study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, not unto men, unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's important that you have truth. It's important that you are able to rightly divide the word. To actually rightly divine the word. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Why? What effect does vain babbling have? What effect does not having the truth? It will lead to more ungodliness. and their word will eat as does a canker. That's like a worm. It's like a canker sore is like a cancerous sore. Like when people used to get syphilis and they would get a canker sore. It would show that they were diseased and that they were being eaten alive. The canker worm does the same thing. And he said, of whom Hymenaeus, and Philetus are, who concerning the truth have erred. So if you don't have the truth in your teaching, or you don't believe the truth, and you're walking in error, then it's like a canker sore already. And overthrowing the faith of some, because they thought the resurrection had already gone by. But when we don't teach the truth of the word, and we teach it in error, then we cause ungodliness. We cause people to walk in error. And because they're not studying to show themselves approved, then a lot of times they don't even realize they're walking in error. They just took whoever's word for it. But we are all commanded to do what? Study to show ourselves approved. Not to men, to God, to Elohim. Because when you go before him, you gotta answer for yourself. Your pastor will have to say, hey, I told him, or no, I didn't tell him. Remember the scripture said that the pastor has to give a report. And let him do it with here, meaning that you were obedient. Because if he does it with not cheerfully or not to your interest, it's not good for you. Most of us are going to put weight on that, what he says. Study to show thyself approved. Rightfully divining the word of truth. That's what you have to do after you are water baptized and spirit filled. Got to get back into the word. You have to be taught. Elohim has accepted you. He know that you didn't come full of all knowledge. He know that you didn't come knowing everything. So he wants you to study. He wants you to listen to the teachers, but then verify. Unto Elohim. If we need more wisdom, what should we do besides study Elohim's word? Let's go to James chapter 1. If you're reading the word and you're getting some understanding, but you want more wisdom, you want wisdom in the word, James chapter 1 verses 5 through 8. If any of you, me or you, lack wisdom, who are you supposed to ask? Ask Elohim, that give it to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. This is how you should be asking Elohim, in faith. Not wavering, not doubting. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of Yah. Because if you waver, that means that you have doubt. And if you have doubt, you have more than one opinion or thought on the matter. You are double-minded. And if you are double-minded, it says that you are unstable in some of your ways. All of them. All your ways. You might think that you're stable. But the Most High says you are unstable in all of your ways. Well, I know I got this right. And I know I'm kind of okay right here. I don't know about this. Then you're unstable. In other words, you should be like a what? Rock? A sturdy foundation? You won't be unstable. How can I come to you and ask you about the scriptures and you unstable? And how am I going to be? Because I'm really standing on you and what you told me. Isn't that how most of us react? We believe what somebody else told us and we stood on that. And if they are unstable and they have doubts themselves and they are not clear in the scriptures, then whoever they teach will be what? Unstable also. You can't be any different. So we got to understand that, okay? Got to understand that. If you lack wisdom, ask the Most High, and he will give it to you. If you ask without doubting, because if you doubt, then he says, you're not going to get what you're asking for. If you ask the Most High something in doubt, it really means that you don't believe. Does that make sense? What it means? It means you don't believe. And he says, if you don't believe me after all this word, I'm not going to give you nothing. You're not going to receive what you ask of me. Because you're double-minded. See, that was the problem with Israel. That's why he says they didn't receive it in faith, because they doubted every turn. When he says he's going to bring them into the promised land, he can deliver it to them. He sends out spies. The spies come back with an evil report. They believe the evil report. When there was no water, and the Most High had already provided them water or no food, and they murmured and complained, people. You doubt. I'm still going to give it to you. But really, if the Most High had kept what he said like back then with Israel, Israel would have died in the desert. A lot of them did. But all of them would have died. But he says, for his name's sake. Because I said I would take you into the promised land, I can't let all of y'all die. So today, we have the New Testament. We have the New Covenant. And the Most High doesn't want us doubting him. And he's just telling us straight up in his word, if you doubt me, you're not going to get from me what you ask of me. Point blank. What time we got? 7:27. My time. Any questions on questions 4, 5, or 6? All right. 4, 7. Let's go to question number 8. When Andrew found Yahushua, what did he then do? when Andrew found it. Go to John chapter 1. And let's get verse 40. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him, now who did they follow? Was Matthias, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, we have found Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ, or Messiah. So what did he do? When he found him, he went and told what? Somebody else? When you find him, that's what you should have done. I have found Messiah. I have found the truth. What did Philip, after Philip began to follow Yeshua, what did he do? Let's read verses 43 and 44. The day following, Yeshua would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So he did the same thing. He went and told somebody else. Found him. That's what we should be doing. I found the Messiah, the truth, the way, the light. I found the good news of the kingdom. I found a way to get eternal life. Give me a hot second. My computer is being slow. Let me change my view page. Look at the woman at the well. What did the woman in Samaria do immediately after she believed in Yeshua? Go to John chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 7. We might as well read verses 1 through 26. John, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. When therefore the Lord or Yah knew how the Pharisees or Yeshua, how the had heard that Yeshua made and baptized more disciples than John, though Yeshua himself baptized not, but his disciples. Yeshua baptized his disciples baptized everyone else. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must be go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the wall, and it was about the sixth hour, noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yeshua saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Yeshua answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of Elohim, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, from where, then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father, Jacob? So she's telling you that she is a what? Hebrew. Now she's living, been living according to the laws of the Most High, and she's been worshiping false gods and been worshiping on top of the mountain or mountains that, as God has said not to do, as Elohim has said not to do. We'll see this. Are you greater than our father Jacob? So she's a woman of Samaria, but she's a Israelite. No, she's not an Israelite. She's a Hebrew. Okay, she's of the 12 tribes, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Are you greater than Jacob? Yeshua answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. So the word is equated to water, and even the spirit is equated to water, and you are to be the well that's full of that water. But if you don't get, if you're the well, unless you dry up, you can't get thirsty. If you're the well. The woman says unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw, to pull water out the well. Yeshua said unto her, go, call thy husband, and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Yeshua said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. So when he told her to go get her husband, he already knew she didn't have a husband. But he wanted to see what she was going to say. For thou hast had five husbands. He of whom now, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. That's where the Samaritans worshiped at, because that's where they were taught to worship at by our forefathers who were in the northern kingdom following after Baal and the altars of Baal that were in the mountain. This is one of those Hebrews, a descendant of those Hebrews who, when the Assyrians came and took the northern kingdom, some of her forefathers escaped. And she's doing what they did. Worship up in the mountain where they placed the altars of Baal. So she's telling you what she's doing. Our fathers worship in this mountain. The Most High told Israel, don't go up in the mountains and make your altars to me. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Yeshua said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall worship neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So you're worshiping in that mountain. You don't know what you're worshiping in that mountain. But he's telling you, you ain't worshiping the Most High. We know what we worship. And we know who we worship. How is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. This is who the Father wants. Those that are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's who he's looking for. He's not looking for those that are going to worship him by their carnal mind and in the flesh. Think that they can just pick up a Bible and start reading it and get understanding and get truth. Elohim is a spirit. That is who and what he is, a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman says unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. How does she know that? Where does she hear that at? That's your assignment. So everyone that's listening, for next week, you have one question to answer. Where did the woman hear? How did she find out about Messiah? And how did she find out what his name is supposed to be? Because she's telling him what time it is. How did she know about Messiah? She's a Samaritan. She's a woman of Samaria. The Jews don't have any dealing with them. The priesthood that was left in the north was not the Levitical priesthood. Because Jeroboam took the people who were poor in the land and made them the priesthood. And when Nebuchadnezzar came, no, not Nebuchadnezzar, when Shalmaneser, the Assyrian king who removed Israel from the northern kingdom, when he sent transplants in there, and the lions came and attacked the people because they didn't know the Elohim of the land, Shalmaneser sent for one of the false priests. And they came and taught the people to fear Yah. But Yah wasn't talking through them. And he didn't take a prophet from them. So how did this woman know about Messiah and what he was going to do and what he was called? That's your assignment. Everybody understand that assignment?
Yes.
All right, amen. Sister Mary?
Yes.
I can hear you now. I can hear both of you now. No, I didn't can hear you before. Sure. The woman says unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ or Messiah. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Yeshua said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You looking for Messiah, I'm him. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? What are you looking for in her? Why are you talking to her? None of them didn't say that. But they marveled. Messiah is speaking to a Samaritan? We don't have nothing to do with Samaritans. Why would Messiah be talking to her? On top of that, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, our people have been asking him who he is. He won't even tell them who he is. But he just told this woman of Samaria, I am the Messiah. I am the Mashiach. That should have given them a clue. I come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and to the men. Come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Messiah, the Messiah? So what did she do? She went and told everybody, just like Philip did, just like Peter and John. Just like Nathaniel, what you're supposed to do. Look at verse 28 and 29. We already got those. Let's go to the next question. Does everybody understand this woman of Samaria? Her claim that she was a Hebrew Israelite. The former to Jacob's descendant. Messiah tells her who he is. Your assignment is to figure out or find out, how does she know about Messiah? Where could she possibly have learned that from? All right, next question. When people will not receive the witness for HaMashiach, what else should be done besides praying for them? When people won't receive your witness, what else should you do? Go to Luke chapter 10. And let's get verse 10 through 15. See, I want to do something else here. Let's start in verse 1. I'm sure we'll cover this later, but I want to cover it now. And we'll be finished for tonight. So we'll start in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Okay. After these things, Yah appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord, or the master of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be unto the house, this house. And if the son of the and if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. But if not, it shall turn to you again. In other words, if they don't want to receive you, your peace that you're giving to them, then your peace shall return to you. It won't stay on that house. And in the same house, remain where your peace is accepted, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Go to a city, go where? To a house. If they receive you in peace, stay at that house. If they don't receive you in peace, then your peace shall do what? Return to you. But if they receive you, eat and drink such things as they give. Now, these people are going to Hebrews. Are you back? These people are going to Hebrews. Do you think that because they're commanded not to go to the Gentiles yet? So let's talk about this for a second here. Because see, when we read this in the New Testament, and because Gentiles are reading this, and Gentiles are eating anything and everything, then you might read this verse, eating and drinking such things as they give. Could you go to somebody's house and they might give you a pork chop?
could.
They could.
Yeah. Yeah, they could.
And if you are reading this from the mindset of a Gentile, you might say that's okay. But who is he sending out here? He's sending them out to the Jews, to the brethren, who are their brothers, because he came first to who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, right?
Yeah.
Which would include Jews and those of the northern kingdom. The woman at the well of Samaria was one of the northern kingdom. Do you think that Messiah here is saying, go and eat whatever they put in front of you if they're eating unclean?
No.
No, he's not saying that. He's saying, don't be picky. They, whatever they give you to eat, eat it. But it should be something, what, according to the dietary laws? Something clean. Because that's it. He's talking about Israel. But the church will interpret this that you should eat whatever they put in front of you. Okay? If you're a Gentile. Okay? So he's not saying that. He's saying have the mindful attitude. Everybody in Israel is not rich. Some might only have some bread. Some might have bread and fish or bread and meat. Whatever they put in front of you, do what? Eat it. And don't do what? Go from house to house. But you got to read this from a Hebrew mindset. But the church and the Gentiles read it from a church and Gentile mindset. But who is he talking to? And where is he sending them? Okay. For the labor is worthy of his hire. That's your pay. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of Elohim is what? Come nigh unto you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the gospel. That's what you and I are supposed to be saying. You're bringing the kingdom to them. But unto whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not. The question is, when people will not receive the witness of HaMashiach, what else should be done besides praying for them? Go your way out into the streets of that same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of Elohim is come nigh unto you. So when somebody won't receive the gospel from you, you're supposed to do what? That's right. Knock the dust from your feet. Not be trying to wait for them to say, you don't understand. Are you commanded to be understanding?
No.
He said to do what? Knock the dust off your feet. And tell them, the kingdom of heaven has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for who?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Than Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. See, here's one of the things that I want each of us to understand. And you got to do it the way Messiah said do it, okay? Can't do it your way. Because you might feel like you have understanding. And you might feel like, hey, I'm supposed to be tolerant. I'm supposed to be understanding. He says, cast not your pearls before who? If they reject this, you're not supposed to be like, oh, that's okay, you'll get it one day. You're supposed to take the dust off of your shoes as a witness against them. I offered you the kingdom, and you what? You commanded to do this. Okay? And then tell them that the city of Sodom, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that city, or for Sodom than that person. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethesda, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented. They would have repented a long time ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, for you. Now, he's talking about, in this case, they are going to what, entire city? Now, today, we can't really do that, and our witness is more what, personal? Whoever you offer the gospel to, you got to understand that what you're offering them is so precious that you don't treat it like it's common. You don't treat it like it's nothing. I bet you, I'm willing to bet this, if all of us had just a $100 bill and we offered it to somebody, say a beggar on the street or somebody who was homeless and poor, and we gave them a $100 bill and they watered it up and threw it back at us, we would look at them in some kind of way. What is wrong with you? Oh, you don't want my money? Let me do what? Let me take my $100 bill back and put it where? Back in my pocket. You don't appreciate what I'm doing for you. That's how you're supposed to treat this gospel. If you offer it to somebody, the kingdom, and they reject it, can you just take the dust off of your shoes and tell them it's going to be better for those who never knew in the day of judgment than it is going to be for you? And keep it moving. We try to be nice. We try to be understanding. We try to be compassionate. But what you are offering people, the Most High is telling you, is so precious, it's so valuable, that if they reject it, you are commanded to knock the dust off of your shoes. That's not a suggestion. Eat whatever they put in front of you. Go not from house to house. And if they reject you, do what? Knock the dust off their feet. That's not a suggestion. Problem with us, we think anything that Messiah says is a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. This is what he told the 70 that he sent out. Do you think he would give you any different orders? That he would give you orders that would be contrary to these? Spreading the gospel, that's what they were supposed to be doing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Let me offer you the kingdom. Let me help you come in. I don't have nothing to do with it. Okay. Yah has nothing to do with you. Did you do that to them or did they do it to themselves? Did he ask you if these people were ignorant or knowledgeable? He just said, whoever you give it to, they either accept you in peace or they do what? They reject you. And if they reject you, knock the dust off your feet. Keep it moving. You did what you were supposed to do. They brought damnation on themselves. Not you. Everybody understand that? So, but I just want you to understand that as a citizen of the kingdom, if you don't do this, you are breaking one of his what? Commandments. Just that simple. All right. Any questions on anything that we covered tonight? None?
No.
Okay. No questions? Let me see if Brother Gary has a question. Shalom, Brother Gary. You got any questions on anything we covered tonight? Are you awake, Brother Gary? I don't hear you snoring, but you ain't there. All right. I'll text Sister LaGracia later or tomorrow and ask her if she had any questions. All right, let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, we come before you, Father. Humility. Father, we need your wisdom, and we're asking for it even right now. You said, and we doubt, do not doubt, Father, that you will give it to us. You said, if we ask, not doubt it, that we would receive it. But if we doubt, we will not receive it. Father, we just want to walk in your ways. We want to do those things which are pleasing to you. We want to be effective witnesses in bringing souls into the kingdom. And we want to obey your voice. It is your commandment that we treat this gospel as something precious. That we offer it to those who receive us in peace. And that we don't give it to those who reject it. That we wash our hands, our feet. We take the dust of our feet off with them. We don't continue to try to force feed them the gospel. To be mindful of your word, Father, and to be obedient to your commandments. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, we will meet on Thursday for the Thursday business meeting. And I need to get busy. I got some new equipment in that I got. I have to do some trades or else I get behind with these growths. And so we shall be busy doing that this evening. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. All I can do is show you what thus saith the word of Yah. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. Shalom, and have a blessed rest of your evening. Shalom to each and every one of you. And theme song, roll the credits.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there. Teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect,
Sister Lorraine, rest of everybody's family, peace and blessings.